The gospel lesson this morning comes from Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11, and can be found on page 3 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, no one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "As it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The New Testament reading this morning comes from James 1, verses 2 through 5 and 12 through 16, and can be found on page 228 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and it will be given you. Blessed is anyone who endures temptation. Such a one has stood the test and will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. No one, when tempted, should say, "I am being tempted by God," for God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But one is tempted by one's own desire, being lured and enticed by it. Then, when that desire was conceived, it gives birth to sin, and that sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my beloved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So as Warren was saying earlier, you know, Wesley said, yeah, some basic rules. Avoid evil and do no harm. Pretty simple. You know, if we look back at the Matthew chapter, Jesus had been baptized in the river by John the Baptist, and the sky split open. And then this sound came from above, and it said, "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am pleased." Now, if you've ever had praise from your parent, you feel pretty good about that. Jesus was on a high. And then afterward, he knew it was his duty to go into the wilderness and spend those 40 days, his period of Lent, to reflect on his life and his circumstances and to grow that bond with his Father in heaven. Now, during Lent, he went from the high all the way down to the low, where the devil was tempting him. From the biggest extreme happiness to the lowest of lows. And in this 40-day window he had, you know, we celebrated his Lent, but it shouldn't be just 40 days out of a calendar for us. This should be a daily occurrence and a weekly and a monthly thing we do. We should celebrate Lent as a year-long journey with the struggle that Jesus faced. I mean, if he had to face it, what makes you think you're going to escape without a little bit of struggle in life? I'm sure we've all heard the saying, "The devil made me do it." Yeah, well, sometimes we believe that the devil has a little bit of power to make us do things that, well, maybe we shouldn't be doing. You know, sometimes it's imagined that he's this little guy over on your left shoulder, right? He's in a red suit and he's got little horns and a pitchfork and he's whispering in your ear. And you're thinking and you're listening to him. And on this shoulder, this cute little white angel, all smiley, telling you, don't listen to him. Talking trash. It's going to get you into trouble. Remember, there's always the temptation and then the God side to counteract that. Unfortunately, in the cartoons, it seems like the devil wins mostly. But is that really how temptation works? Is the devil really as equally powerful as God? Can he make us do things that we don't really want to do? Well, the answer is no. Jesus made it clear that the one who is in us is greater than the one that's in the world. The truth is, the devil has no power over us in any way that we don't let him have. Now, I'll warn you, the devil's going to lie. He's going to cheat. He's going to persuade. He'll blind you to things you need to see. He'll use every trick, and he's very persuasive. And what he will show you is very attractive, and he's trying to lead you astray. But the closer you're willing to walk with God, the harder he's going to keep throwing these roadblocks and distractions at you, trying to lead you astray. Jack Welch, who had the company GE for many years, used to tell a story, and I read in one of his books, about three people came looking for a job. And he was looking for a driver that would get him from his house on top of a mountain to his office at the bottom of the mountain. And the road to get there was very windy and curvy and had steep drop-offs on all the sides. And it's an allegory for temptation, in a way. He would say to the first person, "Now, I need to get to my work in a hurry. How close to the edge will you drive to get me there when I need to?" And the first guy responded, "Well, I'll get you within 3 foot. But I'll get you there." And the second one's like, "I will get you within 1 foot of that edge, and I'll get you there faster than the other guy." Well, the final person said, "Well, I'm going to get you from home to the office, but I'm not getting anywhere near that edge." Well, the third person is the one who would get the job, because it's also a story of ethics. How close to the edge is okay? Just look at Jesus. In Matthew 4, he was at his spiritual high. He'd been baptized. He saw the Holy Spirit descend on him. He heard his Heavenly Father tell him, I love you and I'm pleased in you. And then the devil came. It's always darkest before the dawn. Yet we know from Hebrews that Jesus experienced every temptation we face, that he never sinned. Of course, it has some advantages, I'm sure, being Christ. But how did he do it? And what can we learn from his teaching and his experience in that wilderness? How did he handle the devil when he was tempted? Well, there's three lessons today in the reading that we had. One is, God doesn't tempt, but he does test you. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted. He knew this was going to happen. And we know that in the book of James that God does not tempt anyone. So why would the Holy Spirit lead Jesus into the wilderness specifically? So he could be tempted or tested. Now, remember from James that the testing of our faith produces perseverance. And perseverance isn't just a desired quality for a mature Christian. It's really an essential one. James goes on to say that perseverance must finish its work in a Christ follower so that he or she can be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So God is going to do what it takes to produce that quality in us. Every teacher we've ever had has tested us. Right? And most of us have had one of two types of teachers. There's the one that tests us to reinforce what they've taught us and what we should know. And then there's the other teacher that throws those pop quizzes and tries to test you and to find out what you didn't know. So, but knowing the character of God and who he is and what he can do, what kind of a teacher and test giver do you think he is? Three temptations Matthew recorded for us fall into these broad categories that can be applied to every temptation we face today. First, there's an appeal to your physical needs. It said Jesus was hungry. You know, I've not gone about 6 hours without eating, and I get hungry. So 40 days, I don't know. And of course, what does the devil bring him? You can make these stones bread, and you can have something to eat. And secondly, there was the temptation for Jesus to take a shortcut. Now, Jesus knew what he needed to do was to fulfill his Father's plan. He had to go to Jerusalem, he had to suffer, and he had to be crucified. And the devil tempted Jesus to bypass all of that with a dramatic display of God's power that would firmly establish Jesus as the Son of God. And third, the devil tempted Jesus with the power. I will give you the kingdoms of the world if you will worship me. Now, it should be noted that Jesus didn't argue with him that these kingdoms of the world were never the devil's to give in the first place. But Jesus responded to all three of these temptations with Scripture. He didn't say, "Hold on a minute, devil. Let me look this verse up. I know it's in here somewhere." He had God's word in his heart. He knew that when the word of God is in you, you wouldn't sin against God. And as a follower of Christ, we need to be in God's word every day. Not just pulling the Bible off the shelf in case of an emergency. You know, when Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus, he was describing the armor of God. And he called the word of God the sword of the Spirit. That's the only offensive weapon in the whole armor of God. And the purpose of that whole armor of God is so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. He knew you were going to be tempted continuously. Some good news is Matthew 4:11. When we resist, the devil flees, and the Spirit will strengthen us. You know, verse 11 says that the devil left Jesus and the angels came and attended to him. And we know that the devil's not going to leave us alone for very long. But the promise from the Scripture is that when we resist the devil, he will flee from us. Now, flee is a very important word there. Flee is what somebody does when they are confronted with an overwhelming, overpowering force. You flee. You don't just walk away. You don't run. You flee. The devil is a coward. He's going to pick on you when you're feeling weak. But when you show a sign of strength, he will turn around and flee. He knows that there's a lot of easier targets out there than a Christian who will stand up to him with the word of God. Now, the promise of God is that his Spirit will help us in our weakness. And for Jesus, there was the physical presence of God's angels, but we have that same promise too. So how do we win this battle in life, this struggle with temptation? Well, you need to know God's word and hide it in your heart. And when you start to apply God's word on a regular basis, you're on the right path. The second way to resist temptation is to understand we are tempted when desire for something and that opportunity come together. If you feel a desire to sin, if this little guy is talking to this ear, ask God to remove the opportunity. Remember that God will always provide a means of escape from temptation. Look for it. Ask Him to create in you a desire for the things He wants. And everything in the world will pale by comparison. And finally, remember that temptation is inevitable, but it's not irresistible. You can and you will win. putting on the armor of God. Now, Martin Luther, the Protestant reformer, said, you know, I cannot prevent birds from flying over my head, but I can stop them from building a nest in my hair. So don't let temptation build a nest in your heart. Believe, and the Lord will set you free. And we said the Lord's Prayer this morning. Remember that line? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So the devil made me do it? No way. God made you better than that. And for that, we should be eternally grateful. If you need help, try this prayer. It's the warrior's prayer. Heavenly Father, your warrior prepares for battle. Today, I claim victory over Satan by putting on the whole armor of God. I put on the girdle of truth. May I stand firm in the truth of your word, so will not be a victim of Satan's lies. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. May it guard my heart from evil, so I will remain pure and holy, protected under the blood of Jesus Christ. I put on the shoes of peace. May I stand firm in the good news of the gospel, so your peace will shine through me and be a light in all I encounter. I take the shield of faith. May I be a reader of Satan's fiery darts of doubt, denial, and deceit, so I will not be vulnerable to spiritual defeat. I put on the helmet of salvation. May I keep my mind focused on you so Satan will not have a stronghold on my thoughts. I take the sword of the Spirit. May the two-edged sword of your word be ready in my hands so I can expose the tempting words of Satan. By faith, your warrior has put on the whole armor of God. I am prepared to live this day in spiritual victory. Amen.